Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Dr. Michael Fenster is a cardiologist, a gourmet chef, author, TV personality, and host of Code Delicious. Here's Dr. Mike.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for the scrumptious and the salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know that you are, and I know you know. That means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. I am Dr. Mike, and today's diagnosing, getting back to the source, the terroir of food. It is deep, deep into the summer. It's the time of year when the heat reaches profoundly into us, carried quite literally on heavy water vapors. The humidity is palpable with each breath. And with each long, slow lungful of the dog days that drag on, the oppressive moisture clings to us. From the inside to the outside, where we wear it as an unwanted heavy cloak, it is a hothouse that seems fit for neither man nor beast. But it is a produce paradise. This is the time of the year it is easy to be green, and purple, and orange, and red, and every nuance and shade that covers the horticultural spectrum. So when we enter the air-conditioned quarters of the market enjoying a brief respite, when we see that unblemished, perfectly round, intensely red tomato, we cannot but help to reach the conclusion that has been so insidiously and meticulously crafted for us to stumble upon. It is an assumption planted for us to grasp that this is a real, fresh garden tomato, that this has spent its entire life up until its most recent arrival to our market becoming the fruit of the vine. There it blossomed from blood to flower. There, lazing sunnily in God's own green acre, it captured the essence of sunlight. It drew deep of the earth itself. It swelled with the waters of life, and it transformed all of these to a sweet succulence that is the taste and texture of a perfectly vine-ripened, fresh garden tomato picked at the perfect moment of peak flavor and brightness. That this, quite simply, is the real food that nature intended. But not all that glitters is gold, nor all that is red in the produce department, a tomato. When we grasp the fruit, its flesh does not yield gently to our soft caress. It is hard and uncaring like some plastic doppelganger. And when we bring it close, it does not greet us with the soft perfume of summer, but with a cold indifference that offers no hope of either taste or texture. For this tomato never saw the sun. It knew only the harsh glow of the grow light. The soil was no loamy nest, but dirt enhanced for rapid growth. The species of tomato was not picked for flavor, but for function. It was produced for rapid growth, large size, water retention, especially useful when sold by weight, and uniformity of product. Each tomato so exactly like the rest that mechanical harvesting is not only possible, but profitable. And it did not develop the distinctive deep vermilion solar blush that marks the summer berry being sun-kissed. It was picked green, underripe, rock hard, and green. It travels well with minimal damage during its long transport. And just before it makes its faux debut amongst the fruits and vegetables, it is gassed with ethylene oxide. And with the application of some horrible botanical spray tan, the fake food makeover is complete. This is one of the dark sides of our modern food pathways. What looks truly at its penultimate and desirable may not be. Real, freshly harvested foods can be on your grocer's shelf, on ice at the fishmonger, or in the craft butcher's display case quite literally overnight. The average fish travels 5,475 miles before it makes an appearance on your dinner place. But that distance creates the opportunity for nefarious tampering and tinkering. A decade ago, Consumer Reports tested 23 salmon fillets that were labeled as wild caught. Only 10 were in fact wild salmon. And even when something is as billed, industrially mass-produced faux food like tomatoes can be used to create the illusion of a summer's day, when in reality, it is a dark winter's night in Anchorage, Alaska. And given the current state of modern global agribusiness, it is wise to heed the warning, winter is coming, and the markets are full of terrors. We can no longer simply rely on our sight to convey us if the information about our food is accurate. Not when we cannot tell if the vibrancy of the carrots are due to the carotenes or orange dye. We must engage all our senses. Most importantly, we must engage our brains. We must no longer be consumers blindly accepting what is proffered to us. We must become chefs, at least to the extent that we learn how to and we properly engage in sourcing our foods. Here's a few easy steps that should become second nature whenever you procure your victuals. What is it? Is what you are buying, whether it be from a farmer's market, grocery store, or restaurant, what you think it is? That green canister of shredded confetti labeled Parmesan is about as close to a real block of Parmesan Reggiano as I am to having a date night with ScarJo. Which is to say, not in this parsec, not in this eon. You need to ask yourself if this is a heritage breed or conventional, wild caught or farmed, heirloom or GMO. How is it raised? You need to know not only how to take note of the genetic stock, but how this was produced. Is it raised organically, conventionally, pastured, free range or wildcrafted? Because so many of these adjectives actually carry no legal requirement or ramification, it is often important to take that extra step to verify the claims, if at all possible. How was it harvested or processed? This can be especially important when you are looking for living, fermented foods. For example, there are many yogurts available, and not all yield the same complexities of flavor or health benefits. To increase shelf life and profitability, some companies choose to treat the products or add preservatives that kill off the live, active cultures. The same is true for other living foods like sauerkrauts. Such dead options, in comparison to their still living counterparts, offer very little in the way of probiotic benefit. How is it transported? Is this a fresh strawberry that was growing at the local farm just yesterday? Or is it something that was picked unripe a week ago and a continent away? Was it heated, chemically stabilized, and then shipped? The intrinsic beauty of a locavore approach is that, generally speaking, the less distance the food has to travel, the fresher and more vibrant it is on your plate. That makes it better for your palate and person. How is it prepared? It does little good to search out wild-caught Alaskan salmon only to batter, dip it, and deep fry it. When home cooking, and even when ordering out in restaurants, the final techniques used to prepare the food are one of the areas in which we can exercise the most control. You know, although there is no universally accepted literal translation of the word terroir, the concept is widely recognized. It speaks to the place from which our sustenance comes. It is most commonly associated with wine in the sense that certain geographic areas have a unique set of constituents. They combine in such a way that the wine from this vineyard or region cannot be duplicated anywhere else. Even if you grow the same type of grapes, a true French Champagne can only be produced in the French region of Champagne, and nothing else on earth will ever taste like it. All real food has its terroir. It is the simple realization that our food should be wholesome and authentic. It should reflect the pitch and yaw of seasonality and experience. It should, like our lives, reflect variety and vitality, give pleasure and purpose, and at all costs, avoid homogeneity and sterility. And that's the diagnosis. You're listening to Code Delicious with Dr. Mike on Radio MD.